Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8 is where we're going to have our message from this morning. But I want us to show you the comparison between two men, Elijah and Elisha, two prophets of God. Elisha, of course, followed after Elijah. Whenever he came down and throwed his mantle on him, he left his work. He broke up the plow there that he was plowing with and the oxen there, and it was offered. And he went on because he didn't plan on returning to the former life that he had, because he was going forward for God. And we see that Elisha followed after Elijah. Elijah told him that one day, he said, "Why don't you stay here, because I've got to go yonder." And he knew that it was getting close to time that God was going to take him. He said, "No." He said, "I'm going to be right there with you." And he said, well, he had done that to him three times. He said, "Whatever that it is that you ask," said, if you're there with me, whenever I leave, that God will grant it to you." And he asked for a double portion. And we see through Elisha's life that he was granted that, and he done twice as many miracles as Elijah did. But there's still a comparison between their life and the miracles that they did. If you turn back to 1 Kings chapter 17, you don't have to do it right now, but go back and read it sometime. We see where Elijah was out being fed there in the wilderness by God, because he got upset because he thought Jezebel was going to come after him and kill him. So he wanted to run out there and hide, and he gave the warning to Ahab and told him it wasn't going to rain. Then God told him to go down there and he'd take care of him. And then he moved him after the brook dried up, and he told him, he said, "Now there's going to be a woman down there, and she's going to be commanded to take care of you." That's in, now, like I said, it's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And we see that Elijah done just what God said, and he went down there, found the woman. She is gathering sticks to gather to bake a cake of bread so that her and her son could eat and they could die. And he told her, he said, "Well, first," he said, "go get me a little water and bring me a cake first, and then you can go ahead and fix you and your son one." Well, what took place was, because of her obedience and listening and God's divine blessing upon it, he told her, Elijah did, he said, "Listen, lady," he said, that barrel of meal won't run out, and that oil's not going to fail until it rains upon the earth." And it just exactly happened that way, that she was taken care of because of her obedience. Now, we're over here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we see Elisha. Elisha's come on the scene now. There's a little lady here at the first of this chapter. She's without money. The debtors are people that she's in debt to are coming collecting. Her husband has died. She has no means to be able to pay the bill, and she comes to Elisha, being a man of God, and poses a question to him and tells him, says, "Look," says, "I don't have the money to pay this. What am I going to do, Elisha?" And Elisha says, "Listen, lady," says, "what do you got in the house?" She said, "All thing I got's a pot of oil." He said, "I won't tell you what you do. You go gather all the vessels that you can from your neighbors, all the vessels that you have in your house. You bring you and your sons in, you shut the door, and you start pouring out the oil into those vessels." And let me tell you, every vessel they had, she just kept pouring out of that pot, and it just kept her running out. It just kept running out. She'd fill up one, say, "Boys, fetch me another," and they'd bring another. And she finally said, "Bring me another vessel." They said, "Ma, we ain't got no more. They're all full." And the oil stayed. And she went and says, "Now what am I supposed to do? I filled up all them vessels." He said, "I'm going to tell you what, lady." He said, "Now you take that oil and you sell it and you pay your bills, and you and your family live off the rest." That's just the way God will bless if we'll allow Him to. Here at revival time, God will fill our vessels up to overflowing if we let Him, and He'll let the oil keep pouring out in our soul and get us filled up into overflowing, but there'll be just enough always to cover the needs of His people. Why do we wait to revival to get fired up? Let me tell you, there'll be meal in the barrel, there'll be oil in the cruise, if we'll just be obedient to God and listen to Him. And we won't have to just wait for special times of the year to get a little fired up and get a little goosebump on the back of our neck. If you're waiting for a tingle to go up your spine, you might have the flu. Get in touch with God. Know the difference between being sick and knowing Jesus and knowing His power and knowing and feeling Him in your soul. Know the difference. Elijah and Elisha knew the difference. This morning we're going to look at Elisha. We're going to look at a Shunammite woman. She saw something in Elisha here, starting in verse 8, that we're going to start with our message from today. She saw something different about Elisha. The world should see something different about you. I know I say that a lot, but they should see something different in our walk of life. They should see God in our walk. Not wonder if we know who God is. There's a lot of things going on today. We see people killing people and burning houses and kidnapping young people and taking them off to do untelling what. And we see abuse and all kinds of things between domestic abuse. We see children being abused and we see all these things happen. We see elder abuse and all these things that's happened. That's not what God wants us to do. That's not God's love being shown to people. But that she saw something different and she saw him pass by. And she asked him to come in. This is in verse 8, and it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." They had developed a bond here. She saw something there, and she asked him to come in to take a meal with her there in her house. Not only her, but also her husband, as we go on. In verse 9, it says, "And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually." He was the same man all the time. He passed by on his journey, doing what God was commanding him as a prophet to do, telling others about the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, telling those by what God was impressing him to, because we got a great benefit. We've got the Bible we can read. They had to listen to God. They had to listen when he spoke to them and go and tell that. They had to wait upon the word to come from God. We can go to his word and read it anytime we want to. Do we take advantage of it? I'm not going to ask you to hold up your Bibles, because some of you might think, well, he just going to make a point of me because I didn't bring mine this morning. Let me tell you, have the word of God with you. If you're able to read, have it with you and read the word of God. Let it get into the portals of your soul and go down deep. Let the Holy Spirit read that word. Let your mind read that word. Let it see it, not just hear it, but also see it, that it becomes part of you and allow it to be in. But he passed by them continually. They saw him. They saw him on his journey. They saw him work that he was doing and saw that he was a holy man of God. Let me tell you today, you can't always tell by the title that someone has by who they're in contact with. There's a lot of people out here today that are proclaiming one thing, but they ain't possessing it. We can profess all we want to, but we need to possess Jesus in our life. We need to have Him to be part of us and be possessed by Him. That His Holy Spirit lives inside of us and that we are different people than we used to be. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. But praise God, I ain't what I used to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be, because God's still working on me every day. But I want to be that holy man of God that people see continually. The same. The same. And it's hard to be that way. It's hard to be that way. The same. All the time. It's hard to be up. It's hard to be positive all the time. Even as a preacher, it's hard to stay positive. Because you get beat down sometimes. But you got to be positive for God and know, hey, there's a blessing coming. There's sometimes that things are coming the left and the right and there's just so much on your plate. And you wonder, how in the world am I ever going to get it done? And it pushes you down, and all you got to do is hook up with God. Remember, you ain't the one carrying the plate. He is. He'll take care of it. And then all of a sudden that plate gets a little lighter, and the burden gets a little easier, and you get up back up on the top where you need to be with God. "Let us make a chamber." Now she was going to prepare a room, her and her husband, here at their house. Here they were going. They didn't know where they was going to be staying. The prophets, as they was going back and forth, they didn't go to their house all the time. If they had a home, we don't read about them having the homes that they went to lay their head. Many times they were traveling. They stayed wherever they was at. They was just there, and God took care of them. And she saw what he was doing and was getting on board with the work that he was doing and with God. Said, "Let us make a chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." She said, "Let's prepare him a room. We don't have to invite him in all the time. Let's just fix him a place, and when he comes by, if he needs to rest, he's got a place. Let's prepare him a place." And it didn't have gold on the walls. It didn't have the fine curtains and all that. It didn't require all that. Said, "Let's give him a stool and a bed and a table and a candlestick. The necessities that we need." You know, a lot of us has got a lot of our wants, don't we? God was taking care of his necessities. He's took care of our necessities, and praise God, he took care of a lot of my wants. Somebody, I heard them quoting a thing the other day with scripture. says, need what you want. And they said, what's that mean? They had no idea. Need what you want. Need what you want. We, so many of us, we want what we don't need. We need to need what we want. We need the necessities covered. We need a relationship with God. We need to walk hand in hand with Him. But many times we've got so many wants before us that we can't see what our needs truly are. But need what you want. We need to get closer to God. We need to present ourselves before Him, a living sacrifice, willing to go, willing to forsake ourselves for God and do what work He's commanded our life to do. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her. So evidently, he didn't speak her language, because now he's having Gehazi to talk to this Shunammite woman. He said unto him, behold, thou hast been careful for us. With all this care, what is to be done for thee? You know, he was figuring, well, you know, people ain't going to go to all this trouble unless they're going to want something in return. And sometimes that's the way we are. We ain't going to go to all that trouble unless we expected something in return. But God tells us to do those things and do our alms, and not do them before men to be seen of men, but to do them in secret, not to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, or right hand know what the left hand's doing. But do them for God, and He will be the one that gives us the praise for it. But He's asking her now, what shall be done unto you because you've done all this for us? He figured they would come with a price. Are we putting our service to God? Are we giving Him a price for what we'll do? Well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. It's not a bargaining system. He says, you be obedient to me, and I'll pour out to you the blessings. We can't put stipulations on God. Why do we want to handcuff Him? Why do we want to limit God and His reach into our life? Why do we want to put the stipulations on it? But He asked her and wanted to know, what would be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. What's the desire of most people's heart and life when they become married is to be able to have children, to have offspring, to have someone to love and to nourish and to raise up. That's also God's desire, is to have children to raise up in His image, to save through His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear us in His image and to bring us into His family through adoption. God wants to love people. God wants to share His love with His children. God wants to share His love with those that reject Him. God wants to share His love with the enemy that's out there today that's speaking evil against God. God loves them still and gives them a time to be saved if they will humble their heart and repent and come to Jesus and ask for salvation. God loves that one today that's mocking Him the worst. He loves them and wants them saved. God loves that person who'd never done a thing wrong in their life and went to church all their life, but's never been saved. He loves you and wants to save you. Going every Sunday and being baptized in every creek till the tadpoles know you by name won't get you saved. It's the blood of Jesus being applied to your life that brings salvation. But here she wanted, Gehazi told him what she wanted or what she desired, and that her husband was old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. She knew that the chances of this happening were slim to none because of the age of her husband and them being advanced in years. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. May I remind you of Abraham and his wife having their son at an advanced age, far beyond what should have never be able to happen, but God intervened and made a difference. God made a difference. So he's telling her the good news, but yet she said, no, now don't lie to me. Don't you toy with me, boy. You'll get my dander up. Y'all ever seen mama get her dander up, you're going to be in trouble. It's not going to be good. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. Amen. Mama, she said it. But anyway, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. She said, don't lie to your handmaiden. She done all this, prepared this, and she hadn't asked for anything. She hadn't made the mention of this, and she hadn't begged for this. She said, don't you lie to me. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the same season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. Now here he had had some time. He had grown. He was able to go out by himself to where his father was at there with the reapers as they was working out in the field. So some time had passed. We see that God was faithful to what Elisha had told her that God had promised her was going to come true. We see that the child has grew, and now it says that it fell on a day. If you notice, that's been in there several times, and it fell on a day. It's going to fall on a day one day when God says it's enough. When He says, my children have suffered enough in the bondage of that earth down to that sin cursed, as they've suffered the things that's going on because of sin, because of Satan and his demons, and because of the angels that rebelled, and the sin that come in because of pride. Y'all know, now some of you has been here on Wednesday nights, you better know the answer. Where the original sin happened, and I'll give you a hint, it wasn't in Eden. The original sin happened in heaven, when Satan was filled with pride and wanted to lift himself above God. That's where the original sin took place. Pride. The pride of life, the pride of the things, the pride of wanting to be greater than what God was. But there's no way to be greater than God because He is Almighty God. God is an originator. Satan's an imitator. Don't ever forget that. But He said, now that the child had grew and it fell on a day that he was out... went out to his father and to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. Now here this precious lady was, had took time and prepared a room there at her house for the man of God to come by. He asked her one day what would be the payment for doing such kindness and being careful for his needs and Gehazi's needs. And God promised her a child, now she's had it. It's grew up to the point now that it's able to get out and walk and talk and know what's going on. And now it's returned to her and sat up on her knee until noontime and died. Her heart had to be broken. There had to be a desperation that was there. Did she blame God for what was taking place? No, what she done, she took him to the room. And we see here in verse 21, it says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. Now if you'll notice, when Elisha told the lady to go into her house and bring her sons in and all the vessels, he says, y'all go in and shut the door. We see here that the lady took her son to the man of God's room, Elisha, and she put him there upon the bed, and she shut the door. We're going to see in just a few moments of time that Elisha is going to come back and pray for this child. He's going to go in, and guess what? He's going to shut the door. What's the significance by shutting the door? We need to enter into our prayer closets and we need to shut the door to the world. We need to get Satan behind us and we need to get down to business with God. If we want revival in our heart, if we want salvation to come to those that's lost, what needs to happen is get in our room and shut the door to the rest of the things of this life that's going on. It says, and she called unto her husband, verse 22, and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. She says, I need some transportation and I need it now. Don't ask me no questions. I got a journey to go on. And it said, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. It wasn't a custom for her to go to the man of God during this certain times. That there were certain times that they were supposed to make their travel, make their journey to see the man of God. And he says, look, it's not that time. She said, it'll be all right. Just get out of my way. Give me what I said. I got to go. You know, sometimes if we just tell the burdens of this world, look, I ain't got time for you today. I got to get about God's business. We could see some things happen. It says in verse 24, it says, then she saddled. She wasn't waiting for the help to get there to do it. It said she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She said, boy, put the metal to the pedal and let the motor totter. We got to get to the man of God. And they went. She says, don't you slow down unless I say for you to. Let's go on about this thing. We got to get to him. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. She didn't want to deal with the servant. She wanted to deal with the one that could get in touch with God. She didn't want to take time wasting any time here with the middleman. She wanted to go to the distributor. She went to the man of God. She wanted to get with somebody who could get in touch with the one that had gave her her son. And it says, and when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Now let me tell you, sometimes there's things going on in your life that I have no privilege to. There's sometimes that I can read it on your face. Say, sometimes God tells me that you're having troubles by the look on your face. But sometimes there's things that's hidden. If I don't know about it, I can't help you pray about it. But if you tell me, I'll be glad to help you pray about it. You're not going to burden me too much. Because God's there, He's going to give me the strength to be able to stand under the burden. He tells us to take care of each other's burdens, to pray for one another, to be strength when we're weak. Let me tell you, sometimes we need to be the strength when people are weak, and sometimes we need them to be the strength when we're weak. But he said, let her alone. Gehazi the servant said, woman, get away from him. Turn his feet loose. He says, you leave her alone. Because her soul is vexed. She's got a burden. God's hid it from me, but she's going to share with me. She's got a real burden. Listen, don't stand in somebody else's way if they got a burden. Don't you ever act like their burden is something they shouldn't share. Amen. Don't tell them, oh, that's too petty. I wouldn't mention that. Listen, if it's important to you, it's important to God. Amen. It's important to God. And there's power in prayer. There is so much power that we have not even scratched the surface to that is at our disposal. Why? We've not entered the room and shut the door. We've not entered the room and shut the door. In verse 28 it says, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She said, look, you know, I told you when you told me this, don't play around me. Don't lie to your handmaiden. You know, I can't take this. Don't lift me up and let me get crash down. Do not deceive me. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. And there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. Now evidently Gehazi, he could travel a little faster. He said, here's my staff, you take it on, you place it on the child. We're coming. It's going to take us a little while longer to get there, but we're on the way. So Gehazi gets there. Why couldn't Gehazi do anything with the staff? Maybe it was because he was trying to get her away. He didn't have the heartfelt concern for the woman. He was just seeing her grabbing his master's feet and troubling him and putting it there. Sometimes maybe we can't reach heaven because we're thinking somebody else is the problem when it's here. When it's here. Boy, preacher, if they'd been here, you'd really skin them today. Oh, me. Oh, me. If we think that about every message, we need to check. We need to get a checkup. Get a checkup from God and see. If every message is meant for everybody else, we might ought to start listening a little closer. It says, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. There was no doubting it. He was dead. And laid upon his bed. One day, they thought Jesus was dead. By these earthly bonds of this flesh, He was. But thank God, God gave Him something that you and I don't have. He had power over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Let me tell you, because I've become a child of God, I've got that power, but it's through Jesus. Amen. Death can't hold me, hell can't grab onto me and hold on to me, and the grave ain't going to keep me down here. Thank God there's a place called heaven that I'm going to that's been prepared by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father, and one day I'm going to get to go there to be in that crystal sea before the throne of God, singing the praises in the presence of the angels that they can't sing because I'm blood-bought. Amen. And I'm different than the angels. But he laid on his bed and it says he was dead. Verse 33, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. There was a saying whenever I was an EMT, especially about drowning victims, they ain't dead until they're warm and dead. But here we see that Elisha was listening to God. First of all, he went in and shut the door, got all the distractions behind him. Then he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord gave him the knowledge to do what he was supposed to do. He stretched himself upon the child, just as it is told us here. And it says, and his flesh waxed warm. The life was coming back to the body. And it says, and then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Let me tell you that nobody is dead until God says they're dead. Amen. Every time Jesus went to a funeral procession, the dead rose. Amen. Let me tell you, whenever God is working, it don't matter to seem how dead they are, how unconcerned they are. If God's working, He can bring a stump to life and make it praise Him. Amen. But it said he sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came coming up unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. There was rejoicing in a broken heart. There she was having tears of sorrow, but they were turned into tears of joy. Let me tell you today, we need some time that we're going to go into the room, that we're going to get in God's house, we're going to shut the doors to our prayer closets, and we're going to spend some time with God. Though we can get down one individually, as we come together as a church uniting in prayer, there ain't nothing that can't happen through God. But we got to unite in prayer. Now, Lord, help that preacher to pray fast. Help him read quick so we can get out of here. You know, they wrote this book slow so we could preach it slow. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you believe that one. But it says, thou shalt not tarry. And when God's finished and says it's enough, that means we need to stop. But her sorrow had turned to rejoicing. The man of God was able to be there to do what God needed and what the lady needed at the time. Restored this boy, restored his life to him. What a testimony. Amen. You may have a son and daughter that's lost this morning. We're rejoicing because Brandon got saved this past week. Revival started in some homes already. People making preparation to meet Jesus one day. But are we spending the time shutting the door off to the world? Are we spending some time to get down on our knees and really get to business with God? She got to business. She wasn't going to have just a servant. She wanted the man. She wanted the one who she saw continually and saw that he was a holy man of God. She wanted to get in contact with him. There's a holy man of God who is our intercessor sitting on the right hand of the Father this morning. His name's Jesus. Do you want to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God? Then get in the room and shut the door. Get alone with God and pray and expect an answer. That's another important part of prayer. That's a tongue twister. When you pray, pray expecting an answer. Act as though He's answered. Believe as though He's answered. Walk as though He's answered. Because if you pray in God's will, and not amiss from God's will, God will answer. God will answer. Walk as He has. Talk as He has. Live as He's already answered that prayer. You say, well, I've been praying a long time. Then just keep on praying. But if God has given you a definite no, should we keep on praying? We got to find there's a fine line. If God said, no, this can't happen, this is not the way I want it, then we got to say, God, Your will be done. And be obedient to that will. He's not going to change. But when He says yes, go do. When He says move, let's move. This morning He's saying, get in the room and shut the door. He told the lady, get in the room and shut the door upon you and your sons and pour out of that pot of oil. We see the lady here, when her son died, she took him to the room and she put him on the bed and she shut the door. We see Elisha when he got there that he went in separate and shut the door. What do we need to get in touch with God for revival? We need to get in our prayer closets and shut the door. Get along with God. Deep in prayer. That God will take the message this week and that it will spread like wildfire. You know, there's been times that we've seen revival extended here in the 5 years that I've been here twice already. God still do it. God can still do it. Some churches ain't never seen a revival extended. If we want to get down to business with God, we'll see them come off the highway. Well, I was just driving by and God said, I need to come in here. I don't know why. They'll find out why. God's got a reason. We've took in strangers and maybe angels unaware that have walked through those doors during revival. Was it for their benefit or ours? I'm not sure. God will let us know one day. But if we want to see revival, and we want to have revival, we need to pray. We need to seek God's will in this revival. That we get out of the way, not be as Gehazi, and pushing people away and tell them, oh, your problems are too petty for God. But bring them to the altar of God. Let's close the doors behind us of the world and get down to business with God this morning. And here, if you're lost this morning, you need to enter into a prayer room with God and you need to receive Him into your heart. There's a void inside of you that's empty and Jesus is longing to fill it. Jesus wants to fill that part inside of you. See, He left it empty for a reason, so that you will seek Him to be fulfilled. To be fulfilled. This morning you need to enter into a prayer room with God and close the door off to Satan and say, God, I surrender all. Come into my life and forgive me of my sins and failures and save me and receive me as Your child. And believe it with your heart and confess it with your mouth. It's not good enough to have a head knowledge of God, but you've got to have a heart and soul knowledge of God. And when He changes, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. As we stand to our feet, as we get a song ready of invitation this morning, God loves you. Jesus Christ loved you and gave His life for you. Shed His blood that you don't have to die and go to hell. Elijah loved you. You say, Elijah? He's way back yonder. He don't even know nothing about me. He was carrying the Word that we're still reading about today. He loved God, so He loved God's people. He loved anyone that would listen to the words that God would share with them. Elisha loved people. He would share with them the Word of God. He was obedient. This morning, what do we need? We need obedience in God's house. We need to get into our rooms and shut our doors and pray to God and believe Him. Elisha believed when he prayed. Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel, when he prayed those 63 words, he believed. He told him, he says, listen, there's a little cloud gathering up over there. He says, let's get down off this mountaintop because it's going to rain, children. It's going to rain. Let me tell you, if we're wanting to see God work, let's pray and believe and expect a blessing. If you're here and you're lost, God will save you if you'll surrender to Him. Every head bowed, all eyes closed all across the congregation this morning. No one looking but myself and God. Are you here this morning and you're lost? You've never been saved. You don't know Jesus this morning. If you was to draw your last breath, that hell would be your home. And you want a difference. And you feel God tugging at your heart and wanting you to come and receive Him this morning. Would you lift that hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me that God will increase my faith, that I'll trust Him and I'll step up and come to that altar and surrender all." Would there be one anywhere? Just be honest between you and God. It's not a shame to admit that you're lost. It's a shame to stay that way. Because God loves you. God loves you. Preacher, I've not been entering into my prayer room like I ought to. And I've not been shutting the door. And I want to just right now make a commitment to God this week especially that I'm going to enter into my prayer room and I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to pray for revival. And I just want to bind our hearts together in a commitment this week and we're going to pray for revival. We're going to enter into our prayer rooms and shut the door. And I just want to signify it by raising my hand, preacher. I'm going to enter into my prayer room. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to get down to business with God. God bless those hands. That's going up. God bless those hands. God bless those hands. Now let's just don't make a motion to do it. Let's do it. Let's enter into our prayer room now. If you're here this morning, you got a burden. You got a need. You got a family member. You got a financial need. You got a spiritual need. You got a job-related need. Bring it to this altar. Bring it to this altar this morning. God's got the answers. He just requires obedience. Will you come shut the door to the world and get to business with God this morning? The altar's open. This is where God's people should meet because it's level at the foot of the cross. Do you have someone that's in need of Jesus this morning? Bring them. Bring them. There's nothing too petty. There's nothing too large. Bring it all to God because He's in charge. You may be seated where you are. Let us have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. God, we thank You for the answered prayers of those, dear God, when they got down to business with You. They entered into the room and they shut the door. And God, that Your presence was felt there and that You accomplished great miracles. And God, we know that as we come into Your house that we will shut the door off to Satan this week. In our lives, dear God, that You will help us to continually put him out of our prayer time. And dear God, that we'll just get down to business with You. God, it's so important that we will take advantage of the prayer time that You give us. And God, how You can change things. And dear God, when we pray, help us to pray believing and trusting and knowing that You're going to answer and that we act accordingly. Dear God, we know that it's Your will that none should perish, that they should be people that would get saved. And God, we just expect You to move because You said You would. You said that You would convict hearts and that You would draw them unto You. God, we know that You're able. And God, we leave that in Your hands because that is Your business and Your time. We pray that You'd convict hearts, dear God. Convince them that they're lost. Convict them, dear Heavenly Father, and show them. And convince them, dear God, that they need You. That they'll conform to You, dear God. That they'll be converted and changed. Never to be the same again. God, we pray for those, dear Heavenly Father, that may have family members that's sick. Whatever their need might be, God, we pray that You'd just touch their bodies. Give them healing, Lord, we pray. We know that You can. We know that You will. We know that You told us in James that by Your stripes we are healed. God, we thank You for their healing. God, we pray for those that's in financial straits. God, that You will help, dear Heavenly Father, in these problems. And dear God, that they'll surrender to You and know that You're able to lead them out of the darkness they may seem to be in. God, we pray for those, dear Heavenly Father, that may have psychological needs. Dear God, that you'd reach down into their minds and their hearts. And dear God, show them the way out as only you can. Dear God, that you would remove those demons that's in their, maybe have possession of their mind. Lord, that you would cast them as far as the east is from the west. And God, that we just would give you honor and praise for all things that you've done, Lord, for what you have accomplished here. Not only here, but other places. We thank you for the safe return of the young girl that was kidnapped this week as her mother and brother were killed. And she'll be reunited with her father. God, these things are taking place all across the land and country. We pray for our ambassadors, dear God, and our ones that work in the consulates all across this world that are in harm's way in some places today. God, we pray for their safety, that you'd put your hedge of protection about them. Dear Heavenly Father, we know as times grow more desperate, more weary, more sin-tossed, dear God, that it's just getting closer to the time that you'll say it's enough, that you're going to call us home. And God, we thank you for the day of the homecoming, for that crown of rejoicing, for that crown of glory. Dear God, for that crown of life eternal. Dear God, we thank you that for those rewards that you will give us for being faithful to you, that we can lay back at your feet. God, we long for your appearing, that you call us home. God, we thank you for this day, and we ask your blessings to continue upon it, Lord, till this evening as we meet again in your house, that you would pour out your blessings, dear Heavenly Father, to overrunning, that we will get our cups under the spout where the glory runs out, that we won't be just satisfied with a little bit. Lord, if some may be satisfied with a thimble full, I ask you that you give me a barrel full overrunning. Dear Heavenly Father, I'll take their part that they don't want. But dear God, that you will bless and that your spirit would move among your people as a wildfire. Dear Heavenly Father, in our hearts and lives this week. And dear God, we pray that your conviction would be so great that it would pull people off the highways and byways of life into your house to hear your word preached. Not to hear Brother Don, but to hear the word of God. Bless those that will sing in a special way this week. We ask that you take their voices and that you'd multiply the blessings of the words that will be said and the songs that will be sung into overflowing in our hearts. God, if we're in the way, move us so your will may be done. And dear God, that we'll just surrender unto you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.